In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
As we just heard the dialogue of the Lord Jesus Christ with the rich young ruler who seemed to have everything. He was rich, he was wealthy, he was young, we can assume he was healthy, and he was a ruler, he was influential, and not only that, he was very polite, had good morals, good character, kept all the commandments. But he lacked and was seeking the greatest treasure. It was not enough what he had. He wanted to have something better, which, of course, is eternal life. So even if I'm wealthy and healthy, powerful, polite, good character, it's nothing compared to the greatest treasure, which is to have eternal life. So we want to learn from this rich young ruler. But first, we have to recognize that we can put ourselves in his shoes because we actually are, each one of us, rich young rulers. Each one of us, especially in this blessed country, are rich. We're free. We have freedom of expression. We have freedom to do what we need to do. We have freedom to practice our religion, to come to church. We have clean air to breathe. We have fresh water, clean water, electricity, heating. So we are all actually, in fact, very rich. We are also, in fact, very young, because when God created us, whether we currently are 1 year old or 100 years old, we are very young compared to the life that God created us to live. So our life here is very short compared to the life to come. So in relative nature to what is to come, we are all very young. We are also, of course, very young compared to the Lord our God, because he was existing before time. So no matter how old I am, my wisdom that I have received through my years so far is nothing compared to the wisdom that he has. And that gives us a clue to our life in heaven to come, God willing. It's not going to be boring. There's going to be a lot to do. It's going to be a very active life in heaven, getting to know more and more of him and learning of him and being with him. So the eternal life is the life to come. Our life here, we are all rich and we are all young. And in fact, we are all rulers. A ruler is someone who rules, who reigns, who governs. And we are each given things to rule. I am giving my five senses that I rule. I control what I see, what I hear, what I do. So I am a ruler over my senses. I am a ruler over my thoughts, and I'm a ruler over my actions. And actually, I'm also a ruler over my feelings. My feelings can be easily hurt by external things, but I have to rule and control my feelings, my thoughts, my senses. So each one of us is a rich young ruler. So now let's put ourselves in the shoes of this rich young ruler and learn from what he did. First of all, he came to the Lord running. So that is very good. We're coming to the Lord running. He knelt down before the Lord. We kneel down before the Lord to worship him in reverence. And he asked a very good question of the Lord. He said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Okay? So far, rich young ruler is doing A++. Good question to the right person, to the good teacher. Asked in reverence and holiness and respect, knowing full well that he is asking someone who is able to answer. Let's see what the Lord does when we ask our questions. The Lord first is going to clarify one thing. Say, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." So before I give you the answer, let me be very clear. The answer is coming to you. This is God giving you the answer. I am who I am. The I am is giving you the answer. You're not just getting advice from a teacher or from a counselor. You're getting something straight from the Lord. And when the Lord gives us, he tells us, "Do this, don't do this," it's not a recommendation. It's not a, "You may want to consider doing this." When we get advice from teachers or from lawyers, they give us their recommendation. Scientists, they give us their theories, but it's based on the knowledge they have. So they have some knowledge and they say, I'm assuming this, therefore I recommend you do this. You go to a doctor, he diagnoses you. Sometimes he's right, hopefully most of the times, but it's not always because he doesn't know everything. But here the good Lord, the good physician knows everything. So this is not advice, this is a commandment. The Lord gives commandments. So the Lord says, no one's good but one that's God. So before I give you the answer, know that you are getting a commandment. Okay? Like he said many times, listen carefully. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, because this is not an opinion, it's a commandment. And the Lord directs the young man also to the Ten Commandments. The Lord says, you know the commandments. Before I answer you, I've already given you commandments. Tell me how you've done. Do you know the ones I've already given you? And it turns out that this young man knew the commandments and had actually been very faithful in keeping the Ten Commandments or the commandments. Now let's just take a moment and review the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses. They were on two tablets, and here we have the translated versions. Okay? So as you know, there's Ten Commandments. Now, four of them have to do with my relationship with God. Six of them have to do with our relationship with each other. So the first four, he starts off, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay? And then similarly he says, you shall not make for yourselves any carved images, no idols. Don't worship any idols. And we'll get back to this in a second. He says, number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It means don't say, oh my God, and stuff like that. The name of the Lord of your God is to be respected. And number four, he says, remember the Sabbath, and the Sabbath for us now, of course, is the new Sabbath, is Sunday, to keep it holy. So those are the first four. Then the Lord reminded him of the next six commandments, which have to do with how we deal with each other. And as they were written in the Old Testament, they still remain today. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Covet means I'm seeking something which doesn't belong to me. Something that belongs to someone else, I shouldn't seek it. Whether it's someone else's house or car or his wife or anything. Do not go after something that God has not given you. So those are the Ten Commandments. And like we said, the rich young ruler, he did very good. He knew the commandments and he kept them. So now I turn to myself and let's review the commandments. We said, I'm the Lord your God, no other gods, no idols. Don't use my name in vain, says the Lord, and keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. Okay? Still applies to me today. And in the Old Testament, those commandments were written on tablets of stone. And in the New Testament, St. Paul reminds us they're actually written on the tablets of our heart. And it's interesting, the Lord used two tablets, just like our heart we know has a left and right side. And St. Paul says, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is on the heart. So we have these Ten Commandments written in our hearts as well today. We go back now to the story of the rich young ruler who said that he kept these commandments. The Lord says to me also the same commandments, and when he says, do not commit adultery, it is a commandment to stay pure, chaste, clean, and faithful. When he says, don't murder, it's a commandment not to destroy other people's lives. Now, none of us are murdering anyone, but sometimes our words can be hurtful words that can kill other people's reputations or social status or other things. Don't steal means be thankful for what God gave you. If I'm stealing, it means instead of taking from the Lord and being thankful, I'm taking from the devil. The Lord doesn't want us to go to the devil for anything. He's given us everything we need. Don't bear false witness is a commandment to be faithful, truthful, no exaggeration, no half-truths. Don't defraud, don't covet, stay honest means stay faithful again to him. Be content, Don't chase what God has given to someone else. And of course, honor your father and mother. Honor them while they're with you and honor them when they're not with you. The young ruler did all this, and I need to ask myself, do I do all this faithfully? He was rich, so am I. He was a ruler, so am I. Like we said, I rule and control the things God gave me. I rule them in order to protect them. I rule my senses to protect myself. I rule my thoughts to protect myself. Now the young ruler said, teacher, all these things I've done from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And Jesus looks at every one of us and loves us. Whether we're in the church or outside of the church, Jesus loves each one of us. No question in that. The question is, do I love him in return? He does love us and he wants us to have eternal life. So he does want to give us, each one of us, the answer to the question, how do we get eternal life? It's up to me to benefit from his love by loving him back. Only then, if I love him back, the more I love him back, can I truly inherit eternal life. The Lord says to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. As the Lord says to the seven angels in Revelation, he gives them encouragement first and then comes back and says, but you lack this. So it's good to take the encouragement, but you also have to take the commandment of what it is you're lacking and work on it. He says, one thing you lack. Perhaps the rich young ruler neglected the first four commandments, that you love the Lord your God, him, that you, there's only one God, and you only worship him. Perhaps because he was given much richness and power and wealth and health, he depended too much on these things. These things became his God, because he used his wealth to do what he wanted. He was a ruler, perhaps sitting in one of the, like the Sanhedrin, or ruling the people, and he could do effectively what he wants. So to him, he starts depending on his own intelligence, strength, possessions, position, and is able to do what he wants. And he perhaps neglected the, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not worship any idols, because to him his own strength and abilities became his idol. And if I do this, then I forget that everything I get, whether my wealth or health or time or strength, is from him. I depend on him no matter how much or how little I have. I can't put my trust in my own riches, or the riches would become a god to be separating me from God. And that's exactly what happened to the rich young man. That's why he left sad. He left sad when the Lord told him, one thing you lack, and here's the command, go your way, it's a command. Sell what you have, a command. Give to the poor, a command, and then a promise. You will have treasure in heaven. He answered his question. Go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, you get the eternal life. You want to enter the kingdom? You have to start entering now. You don't start entering the kingdom when we're dust in the grave. You don't wait till then. You have to fulfill the go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Like we said, when the Lord gives, he's not giving, you know, you may want to give to the poor, you may want to do this. It's a command. Of course, the Lord continues with a very important part, and take up the cross and follow me. And these two things have to go hand in hand. I can't just follow the Lord without taking up the cross. Otherwise, I'm using and abusing the Lord. I can't just sit there and watch the Lord and not benefit from his love by partaking in the cross with him. So I have to, if I'm following the Lord, I need to take up my cross. It's natural. Also, I can't just take up the cross on my own without following the Lord. That way, the cross to me would be misery. Not only would it be miserable, the cross would be useless if I'm carrying it without carrying it through the Lord, following the Lord in his footsteps. But if I carry the cross in the Lord, follow the Lord, I'll suffer with him, yes, but I'll have peace, joy, and love. The Lord is not trying to kind of trick us and say you're not going to suffer. He says you'll have all these things with persecution. Yes, suffering will come, but stay with the Lord, no problem. The suffering will last for a moment. The joy and the glory will last forever. If I take up the cross, follow him, I would not be sad. This rich young ruler started off very good intentions, didn't end up in a good spot at the very end. Who knows if he repented afterwards or not, but he was too enticed, too possessed by his possessions. We say the word possessions meaning the things you own, you possess. But in this case, his possessions were actually ruling him. His possessions were controlling him. His possessions were his idol, were his God. We don't want the possessions or the positions or any of that stuff to get in the way. So we do have to let go of whatever it is. If we have great possessions that are weighing us down, we have to let go. If we have great positions that are puffing up my ego, I have to let it go. Need to let go of anything that's useless. We could call it treasure, but it's temporary treasure. It's useless, so I can gain the real treasure in heaven. Then I can be sure that I'll get the promise of the Lord fulfilled if I take up my cross and follow him, because he says, no one has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, carrying your cross. Who shall not receive 100-fold in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, because you will carry your cross to gain the glory with the Lord in the age to come. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Believe in one God, God the Father, the Pontificator, Christ, who ever created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father for all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten not created, one is from the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became man, and was crucified for us in Pontius Pilate, suffered and is buried, and the third day rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. Ascended to heaven, sits right hand his Father, and he's come again, his Lord, to judge the living and dead, which gives us God no end. Yes, to believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life giver, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son, who worship and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and one holy Catholic Apostolic Church, we confess and confess the remission of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the coming age. Amen.
Thought you, Samhoni, God bless you, absolve me.